Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It is easy to leave a burning building when it is on fire. But what if that building contains the very thing that gives you life, excitement, peace, joy, courage, and wonder? Will you be an agent of change, or do nothing and eventually leave? If you work in Catholic ministry, business, or education, and need quality content on your website or social media pages, contact The Simple Catholic for copywriting services at thesimplecatholic.blog and click on the writing services page for more information. The Church Militant needs soldiers against the enemy. Enlist The Simple Catholic in this fight for the truth. Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for growing your faith. Good News Ministries will provide you with faith-building reflections, virtual retreats, prayer resources, and lots more. All of it is free. Visit GNM.org today.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger. Today we have with us Rhonda Gruenwald. She is a full-time wife and mother of two teenagers, converted to the faith thanks to her husband of 19 years, David. Prior to volunteering in the field of vocations, she graduated from the University of Texas in Austin and taught English, speech, and debate at a public high school for 6 years. She converted to Catholicism in 1999 and became active in parish life at St. Cecilia Catholic Church in Houston, Texas. Vocation Ministry has worked with more than 6,000 vocation promoters and ministries nationwide, with that number increasing each year. Rhonda continues to present workshops to parishioners, deacons, priests, and religious to teach them how to do the important work of vocation ministry at parishes all over the United States and Canada. She also shares the message of vocation ministry with priests and convocations, and she'll be sharing that message with us today as we discuss her book, Hundredfold, A Guide to Parish Vocation Ministry. Welcome to the show, Rhonda.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Hey, you're welcome. So, before we get started discussing the book itself, I think it would be good for us to talk a bit about your organization, Vocation Ministry. What is that all about?
So the nonprofit Vocation Ministry was born out of my work at the parish. Basically, I found that when I was doing the work, that there was nothing to tell me how to do it. I found activities online, but nothing to tell me, when do you do those activities? Why am I doing them? How do you do them? They were just out there for me to copy and do whatever I wanted with, but I didn't know what I was doing. So we just let the Holy Spirit guide us at the parish level, and we just started praying and promoting vocations. And then a couple of years into doing that, that's when the leadership in the Archdiocese of Galveston, Houston said, how can we do that all over Houston? That led me to writing the book Hundredfold, which is that A to Z guide, everything you need to know about how to do this, and launching vocationministry.com, which has all the tools to download. And then when vocation directors started asking me to speak to their priests and parishioners all over the country, like that happened in the fall of 2015. So 4 years, I've given 75 workshops in 45 dioceses in that amount of time. So The Holy Spirit has been working overtime. So when I started getting those requests to speak around the country, I said, I need to make this more, it's more than just a book now. Mm-hmm. I needed to have a nonprofit. So that's how Vocation Ministry was born. And so I continue to give workshops. I have a social media presence of a million people a month are reached by Vocation Ministry.
Wow.
The Facebook page, Vocation Ministry, and the Instagram page, Vocation Ministry. So I'm just trying to get the word out there that just ordinary parishioners who are in the pews can make an extraordinary difference in the landscape of vocations if they will just get involved. I just think the majority of people have no idea there's anything they can do at all. They just hear about complaints. They see their pastor's overworked. They see that he has two or three parishes he's in charge of. But they don't know there's anything they can do about it. But there is. Mm-hmm. Because we know there is a direct correlation from what is done at the parish level and how many seminarians and sisters come from them.
Right.
So we actually had an unofficial survey done in the Archdiocese of Galveston, Houston, to see how many seminarians came from the parishes that promote vocations. 80% of the seminarians came from the 20% of the parishes that actually promoted vocations.
Hmm. Wow.
So we know that whatever's done at the parish level, it makes a difference.
Right, right. Now, the answer to my next question may seem simple, and you touched upon it there a little bit in your last answer there, but why should we start vocation ministries in our parishes? What do you think are some of the key reasons why we need to do that?
Sure. So we know what is done at the parish matters, and another survey was done of our newly ordained priests, the 2019, the brand new baby priests that are in parishes all over the country. They said that 70% of them said they first heard the call to the priesthood between birth and 18 years of age.
Hmm.
70% of them are first thinking about it when they're in the pews, when they're in the youth programs, when they're in Boy Scouts, when they're in the parish school or religious ed. And the thing that's happening is there are many more out there. Okay, that's just the newly ordained. There are many more young men and women out there thinking about this, but it's not being nurtured. The call is not being nurtured. They don't ever hear the word vocation. They don't hear their priests giving their testimony very often and talking about the joys of the priesthood. Or they don't see sisters very often. So that vocation seems very far away to most of the girls. The one they see the most is marriage, so they tend to fall into marriage whether they've truly discerned it or not.
Hmm.
I think we have many, you know, what could have been wonderful priests who ended up getting married just because they really never discerned priesthood.
Right, right.
Same way with sisters.
Mm-hmm.
So it really does matter. That the latest I've seen numbers-wise is, you know, those really Catholics, it's so hilarious because back in the day everybody went to Mass every Sunday. You just didn't question this. But now they have, we call them like, oh, they're really Catholic. They go to Mass every Sunday. Well, of the really Catholics, 30% of their children are thinking about it or have thought about it. 30%. That's a large number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
So
is.
We should get busy at our parishes.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things I thought was very interesting, you pointed this out early in the book, is that if you start this, you need to refer to it as a ministry rather than a committee. That almost sounds like experience talking. Can you tell us a bit about why it's important to make that distinction?
Well, to us, we hadn't had the word vocation spoken in our parish in about 5 years. We had a parish vocation committee. It went under, and then 5 years later, the parochial vicar, Father Victor Perez, called me out of the blue and said, can you come to a meeting about priests and such? And here I am learning about vocations, which I had no idea anything about this until 2011, being the convert that I am. So I felt like, and Father Victor felt like, you know, this is too important. What we were talking about, the priesthood, religious life, and marriage, I mean, this is the the center of, if we don't have priests, we don't have Eucharist. It's so central to our faith. We felt like it trivialized what we were doing, honestly, by just having it be another committee making decisions and putting them onto the parish.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we became a ministry. I personally tell people all over the country, I don't care what they necessarily call themselves. This is what we did. But if they want to be an apostolate or a team, my former parish in Houston has an amazing group, and they call themselves the Vocations Task Force, very male-oriented, like very action, you know, they're going to do something. And they are incredibly successful. They started doing all of this, and they've had 21 yeses to to the priesthood and religious life in a short period of time.
Hmm.
21.
Wow. Wow.
Another, there was an article just recently published about a parish, St. Mary's in Hudson, Ohio, and they have had 9 ordinations in the last 12 years from their parish.
Hmm. Incredible.
One every year the last 7 years.
Wow.
From 2013 to 2019. And they're doing the exact same thing, what I'm saying to do in Hundredfold, to bring intentionality to promoting vocations and praying for vocations.
Right, right. So let's do a little scenario here. Let's say in our parish we have a young person, you know, male, female, and they have an interest in the priesthood or religious life. How do we approach them and not scare them off?
Sure, because I really, teens specifically, if you say, you know, have you ever thought about being a sister? Have you ever thought about being a priest? Their eyes will get very wide. They'll start backing up from you. They're kind of like wild animals at that point and want to dart away as fast as they can, right? So I tell people to get ready for a no, because it's probably coming. And do you know how many priests say they said no to the first person that asked them to? You know, it's on average six people have asked them, have you ever thought about it, before they entered seminary?
Huh.
You don't know whether you're number one or number six.
Mm-hmm.
So what you do is very gently. First of all, you should never say, you'd look great in a habit, or you'd look good in black and white. Okay, so stay away from those things. What are really effective is, especially if you know the young man or woman well enough to speak this way, to say something like, Johnny, I see you're really a natural leader and people like to follow you and you're kind-hearted and you like to pray. Have you ever thought about being a priest? Because I think you'd make a great priest.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just stop talking. See what they say. They may say no and get away from you as quickly as possible. I always say to end the conversation, no matter if it's a yes or no or whatever, to say, know that I am praying for you to recognize what God's plan is in your life, because he has a big plan for you.
Mm.
Because most kids just are thinking about, what do I want? Where do I want to go to college? Where do I want, what do I want to major in? What do I want to do when I get out of college? It's all about themselves, right? We need to turn that around to getting them to invite God into that conversation. So just by our simple planting that seed of saying, God has a big plan for you. Talk to him about it, and I'm going to pray for you by name every day.
Mm.
Then you come back to him maybe 4 or 6 months down the road. Let it sit with them for a while. And ask again. And then maybe at that point, there's a flyer for something that's happening at the diocese for the high school age kids. And you say, you know, I just thought you might want to join in this group or this camp or whatever whatever's happening. Don't give them a 300-page book, whatever you do.
Right.
There are books out there. There are awesome books out there for this. But especially when we're talking about a high schooler, don't hand them a huge book to see as you got to think about. They're in high school. They're reading all the time. They've got books all the time thrown at them. So don't give them a book that they look at as an obstacle to saying yes. That they go, oh my gosh, I have to read a 300-page book to know whether I should be doing this or not. Right? We got to make the smaller steps than that. Just get them to thinking about it first. Possibly plugging them into someplace, something that's happening in the diocese. Because almost every diocese has some group for high schoolers and some group for young adults or camp or something happening.
Mm. Yeah. So it's definitely something that we want to do with a gentle touch and not a heavy-handed one.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back to discuss more of Hundredfold, A Guide to Parish Vocation Ministry. You've been listening to Off the Shelf. We'll be right back.
The history of the Catholic Church is often clouded by myth, misinformation, and missing pieces. Today, there is a renewed interest in discovering the true history of the Church. correcting the record in the wake of centuries of half-truths and noble lies. Books in the new Reclaiming Catholic History series, edited by Mike Aquilina and written by leading authors and historians, brings the Church to life, debunking the myths one era at a time. Check out the first two titles in this series, The Early Church and the Church and the Roman Empire, at AveMariaPress.com, or look for it wherever books and ebooks are sold.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf. We're spending it today with Rhonda Gruenwald, and we're discussing her book, Hundredfold, A Guide to Parish Vocation Ministry, and her ministry, a vocation ministry. Rhonda, when do we typically, you said there was, you know, that wide range was, you know, pretty wide for when people start displaying interest in entering some sort of religious life. But when do you typically see this interest happening?
So the biggest time is between 6 and 18. That's like, that's the sweet spot that you get. Almost all of them have heard about it, thought about it, said, what if that were me? And so that's why it's so important for us to capture them while they're invested. They're most likely at our parishes. Their altar server, you know, 76% of the newly ordained were altar servers.
Hmm.
That's why strong altar server programs will inspire vocations. It's natural. When these boys see serving at the altar as in some, a privilege and an honor and something they want to do, they're more likely to consider the priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the way it goes. So whether they're altar serving or in Boy Scouts or at the parish school, that's when we need to try to capture their hearts. And one of the things that just can't be replicated is having a joyful witness in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
So inviting sisters, inviting joyful priests, whether they're religious order, diocesan, to get in front of them and tell them how much they love who they are now. And give them their testimony. I think one of the best things we ever did is we had at St. Cecilia was we had a reunion of all the priests and sisters who had said yes, who had gone through the parish school. And since it had been open since 1959, there had been a lot of them. And three bishops and lots of yeses happened. So we invited them back, and they gave their testimony. And Bishop Cahill, now he's at in Victoria, Texas, he said, you know, I walked those halls, I sat in those pews, and nobody ever thought I would be a priest.
Hmm.
And I just think it was so relatable because most of the kids at that age, this is what happens. They're serving at the altar, they're sitting there at Mass, and the priest says something, and they go, oh, huh, I wonder if I'd make a good priest. And then the thought goes right out of their mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
It comes and goes very quickly. So that's why we need to do things at our parish so that the question keeps coming up. It nurtures that question. That's a gentle prompting of the Holy Spirit that's happening in their hearts right then. And if we have things like we have speakers come in, or if we have playing games like Vocations Jeopardy, it could be super fun things. It doesn't mm-hmm. have to be all very serious and panel discussions. You know, it could be the seminarians come in playing soccer on the playing field. You know, I mean, it doesn't have to be huge to make a big difference and to help kids to be thinking about it.
So
we need to encourage parents.
Yeah.
I was just thinking that at the parish level, you know, we're talking a lot about the kids, but unfortunately, 50% of the negative feedback that a young man has when they say, I think I might want to be a priest, is from parents, from family members. So we need to inspire through having those joyful witnesses and making it normal for young men to discern. We need to get that message across to the adults the parents and grandparents at our parish too, because they're the ones that most likely will hear it first from the young man. And we want there to be, it doesn't, maybe they're not like effusive in their praise for this decision, but for they, we hope that they would say, wow, that is so interesting. I see how you could think that you'd be a really great priest. Let's continue to pray about that. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't have to be like, oh yeah, I'm all in. Oh my gosh, I can't wait. Praise God. You know, it may not be that. But it doesn't, I'm hopeful it's not, well, that's not what we decided. That's not what we thought you would do. Mm-hmm. That's wasting your time, talent that God gave you. I mean, I've heard it all said before to young men. And so this is another part of the ministry. I don't want everybody to think that we're solely focused on the youth, because right, that would be missing a big portion of the segment of the population that we need to reach.
Mm-hmm. So somewhat along those veins of some of the things you just talked about, what does the typical vocation ministry look like? Who all is involved? Who can become involved? How many people would commonly be involved in these at the parish level?
Sure. Okay, so normally this can start with just one or two people. That's what's great about it. So anybody who listens who may want to make a difference in their parish can grab a copy of Hundredfold, read the first 50 pages, which are the why and the how, and then meet with their priest and say, I think this is something we should do at our parish. What do you think, Father? And they can get started, because the first things you're doing are super simple. For example, you're getting prayers for vocations in the prayers of the faithful. You're putting maybe a bulletin blurb in the bulletin, which is all at vocationministry.com, super easy to download and give it to your bulletin person. You're putting maybe materials that you can print out at vocationministry.com in your church book rack. So getting people to pray. This is the first phase. We do it in phases. First phase of the ministry work, and can be done one or two people. It's cheap, if not free, to do, depending on how you do it. So then maybe before you get into the next phase, you may want to gather a few more members, and I talk about all that, who you're needing, what they're going to be doing, all that in the book. A few more members, and then you can step into phase two with more complicated, a little more complicated. Some of those are still easy to do, though, activities. But before you get into phase three and phase four, you would want a full complement of volunteers and a budget and all of that. So I would say you're going to want to stay in phase one and two for a good while. Now, what are the activities? So there's 67 activities, and they're divided into four categories. One, prayer, of course, have to have prayer. Two, awareness and education, because I think most have no idea what we're talking about here. They don't know how a priest becomes a priest. Mm-hmm. They don't know that there's a difference between a sister and a nun. So there's a lot of educating to do. Youth, we need to get to our youth, and affirmation. For those who've already said, yes, I'm trying to combat the fact that our priests hear mostly about complaints on a daily basis. The toilet's not working, your homily's too long. I mean, they're really getting it all the time. So we need to change that. We need to, if we want, how easy for Johnny, okay, Johnny's my child, he's 5 years old. And we leave church, and all he hears me saying is complaining about his priest about our priest on our way home. How much does that inspire Johnny to want to be a priest? So we have to stop that, change the way we're speaking about our priests, especially in front of our youth. And we need to affirm our priest on the smallest things that he does well. Whatever he does well, say thank you. First of all, he woke up and said yes this morning. How about that? Mm-hmm. He said yes to bringing Jesus to all the people at daily mass. He didn't have to do that. So we can start with thank you for your yes. Thank you for your priesthood. Thank you for your homily. Okay? Just really simple. So we need to affirm those so that they can exude that love for everybody else. Be more joyful. Gosh, when you're appreciated, aren't you more joyful? I mean, I know I am as a mother. Gosh, if I actually get a thank you from a kid in my house, I'm on cloud nine for a while because that just doesn't happen very often. So what are some of those? So I've talked about phase one, you know, really simple things to do, like get to know your priest questionnaire, because most parishioners really don't know their priest very well. They show up on Sunday and they're there for an hour. The priest comes in. That's when by the kids are so shocked when they see the priest out of the church context.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh my gosh, there's the grocery store. Mom, Mom, it's Father John. He's at the grocery store. You know what I'm saying? They don't see him outside of things. They don't really know him well.
Right.
So I formulated a questionnaire that every new priest that comes to your parish should answer these like 20 questions. What are your hobbies? How many siblings do you have? When did you first hear the call? Who taught you your faith? All these questions. And then those can be shared in the bulletin or at an event, a reception maybe for your priest, over time or all at once. So those are some phase one activities.
Mm-hmm.
And then phase two becomes a little more complicated, but you're having a wider reach. You're because you're now steeped in prayer, that's what I'm saying. You could stay in phase one for 6 to 9 months, even a year if needed. Whatever it takes to get more people praying for vocations and bringing a little awareness, and then you're ready to go into phase two.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's take a quick break. We'll cover some more of those phases and more of your book, Hundredfold, A Guide to Parish Vocation Ministry. We'll be right back.
I have a quiz for you. What is one of the greatest gifts parents can give to their children? It's something children ask for often. When this gift is received, the entire family is incredibly joyful and transformed on the special occasion of the arrival of this masterpiece. This gift calls for faith, courage, and generosity on the part of the givers. It lasts for many decades, only getting better, changing, and developing each day. This magnificent gift is unique and can never be repeated, but a similar gift can be added approximately every year. This gift can only be given by three persons agreeing and acting. Have you guessed it yet? Yes, this profound gift is that of welcoming another child. And the three persons agreeing are husband, wife, and God. I'm Jim Littleton, FormingFaithfulFamilies.com.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf. We've been spending it today with Rhonda Gruenweld, the author of Hundredfold, A Guide to Parish Vocation Ministry. And Rhonda, we left off last segment with phase one, just starting to talk about phase two. And within phase two, you talk about Eucharistic adoration. How important is that to this ministry?
It's very. We know that a prayerful parish is a fruitful parish. So if we have our parishioners praying specifically for vocation sometime in adoration, because I know that not every parish can sustain 24/7 adoration.
Mm-hmm.
We have that at St. Cecilia, but not everybody can do that, especially in rural USA. But if they could have one holy hour a week and put 15 minutes of that for vocations, that's a great start.
Mm-hmm.
And not hard to do. So we know that 80% of the newly ordained say they regularly adored before the Blessed Sacrament. But if we don't have any opportunities for that to happen, that's harder to do, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And in this crazy, noisy, busy world, we need our young people to have silence, to be able to figure out what God is asking them to do. Mm-hmm. So having a time of adoration for vocation is really important at a parish.
One of the things I'll interject in here a little bit is you talked about parishes not being able to sustain that 24/7. One of the things we've done here in our deanery is we have an adoration chapel, and it's deanery-wide, so we all go there, all the different parishes, to participate in that, which it's still difficult to get coverage 24/7,
yeah,
even when you're dealing with multiple parishes.
Yes, totally agree. So that's a great idea to think outside the box and go, how can we make this work
right.
and give opportunity to people to adore? Perfect.
So phase three I thought was rather interesting because I think some people might think, as you said, we're focusing on the youth and how we get them involved and not necessarily get involved, but get them interested in the ministry aspect, becoming religious. But phase three actually incorporates children into this ministry. How so?
Well, one of the activities is one of my favorites. It's called Let the Children Come to Me. Father Victor had a dream the night before a ministry meeting. And he came into the meeting and he said, Rhonda, we have a new activity. It's called Let the Children Come to Me. It's for four-year-olds to fourth graders, and I want to teach them how to pray.
Huh.
We had not a holy hour because there are four-year-olds in there. It
right.
was a holy half hour. But and the word vocation was never mentioned. I think some people hear this and go, oh, man, that's really heavy-handed. No, this needs to be age-appropriate. Father Victor was just teaching the kids how to have a conversation with God, because we know that that's not happening as often or as easily at home. When we used to have a family rosary, right? That was a typical thing back in the day that happened every night. Now, it still happens here and there, but nothing like it used to. So offering an opportunity for our kids and for the kids to come to this event, we asked that a parent must accompany them. It wasn't a drop-off thing. Please don't drop off your four-year-olds to us, right? It was come and be with your children as Father Victor talks about talking with God. I mean, it fed a lot of people, not just the kids. I think that we brought a lot of adults before the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament who had never been before as well. And then after it happened, and it was so beautiful, 250 people were there, 150 kids filling the steps of the sanctuary. And afterwards, we had requests over and over again to do that on a monthly basis, which showed me that the parishioners are craving this opportunity for holiness
right.
for their families.
Right. And then when you move into the fourth phase, you look at family holy hour. How does that look? How do you set that up?
So family holy hour is just that. So we've got a holy hour with, and it was in full hour. So we had readings and a reflection by Father Victor. We had some instrumental music, beautiful sacred music to inspire everybody who was present, and we actually invited sisters from a nearby convent. We had three sets of sisters there, just to be a witness to what that life looks like, you know, just to see it even from afar,
uh-huh.
to inspire the girls in the audience, and it was beautiful. And we had a small reception afterwards so that there was interaction between the sisters and Father Victor and our other priests and the parishioners. So it was just a beautiful event that I felt like, again, if we don't have opportunities for silence and prayer at our parish, where are they going to get this?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, where are they? Because you know what parents are doing? Hello, I have a 17-year-old and a 20-year-old. So they're just now... they're almost out of the house, but I've been living with social media just like every other parent for the last, 8 years of put your phone away.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing that your kids should see before they go to bed is not their phone. And you should be praying before they go to bed. They should be, but again, all of this stems from, are they learning this? Are they given an opportunity to pray? So one of the things our kids, they knew, once we got to church, parking lot, phones went away. Nobody bring out a phone. So we looked for opportunities to be at the church. That was perfect. I mean, obviously, there were times at home they weren't supposed to have them either, but it was just a perfect meld. That's all.
Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about each of those phases, and we're just scratching the surface of what this book's involved with. You have an entire section in the book that we talked about earlier that has these promotional activities to do, 67 of them, in fact, to bring awareness to the vocation ministry in that parish. Are there any particular ones you found that we haven't talked about so far that you found were most effective or that perhaps you enjoyed facilitating more, just to give some ideas of what all is possible?
Well, we haven't talked at all about marriage, and I do believe it's a really important part of this ministry because the three vocations from the Catholic Church perspective, we all are called to holiness, so we all have a call to holiness. But underneath that, we have a call to priesthood, religious life, or sacramental marriage. So we know that there's been a 55% decline in the number of men and women getting married in the Catholic Church since the turn of the decade, 2000. So it's a huge issue that we aren't bringing awareness to the beauty of the sacrament of marriage, as far as I'm concerned. And you know how I know it? It's because I spoke with the priests of Chicago. Let's just give them as an example. There were like 500 priests in the room, and I asked them to raise their hand if they had a program of support for marriages that were currently ongoing. Like, they're not for marriage prep. Those people who are actually already married in the church, did they have anything supporting them? And four priests raised their hand out of 450.
Wow.
I said, do you need continuing education as a priest? Oh, yes, we get continuing education twice a year. I said, do you know how much continuing education I get as a married woman? Nothing, unless I pick up a book and bring it home or there's something at my parish. And that's it. Because, and I can promise you what my husband does when he sees a new book about marriage in my house. He's like, oh, yay, our book. We're going to read together. But if there were something fun and uplifting to do every month at the parish level to support marriage, that's why marriage enrichment is in here. And there's blessing over married couples at Mass and receptions for married couples that have been married, 25, 50 years. So I just think that it's a really important part of our ministry that most people, when they think vocations, they think priest.
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe half of them will go, oh, don't forget the sisters. But very few think that marriage is a vocation to be discerned.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, one of the things I have to point out as we wind down today is that this book comes with a chart that lays out, it's great. It lays out lead times, implementation time, necessary funds to put into each activity. Everything in this book, frankly, is well thought out, amazingly well thought out. How can people, one of the things that struck me in the book in our conversation today is you talk about building this team. So we have all these great resources in this book. And you probably know just as well as I do that there's always seems to be this handful of people in a parish that carry the activities of that parish and keep things running. And they get overwhelmed. And then it soon ends.
Sure.
What advice can you give those listening today to have them get over that hurdle, to energize people to want to do this?
So I say it's not like filling a finance council, you know, you're just looking for the typical CPA out there or, you know, somebody who has financial know-how, right? That's not who we're looking for because you don't even have to know anything about vocations to get started. I didn't, and I've ended up writing a book. Like, all you have to do is say yes, and I promise, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to fill in the rest. So you're looking for somebody who wants to see the church thriving in the future. They see that their priest needs help, and they're super busy and would love for them to have a parochial vicar. Probably they haven't had a parochial vicar, you know, an assistant pastor in years because of the shortage of priests. And they might be a daily Mass goer, doesn't have to be. They could be somebody who's going through RCIA right now, who will love to set the church on fire for vocations come Easter. This could be young married couples one of the most vibrant parish vocation committees I've seen across the country is in Peoria, Illinois. And it's three married couples with small children, I might add. So please don't say, oh, they're too busy.
Mm-hmm.
I say that you really need to ask your priest. If you have a heart for this and you think this might be something you're being called to, talk to your priest and get his input on who would be good to start this. Because it may not be Sally who does everything at the parish.
Mm-hmm.
It really might be other people who aren't involved with anything else. So I would love for people to think outside the box on that one and not just go for the typical five people who do everything.
Right, right. You close out the book with a chapter on perseverance, which I think was a very important chapter to include. People involved in this ministry, as with any other activity, they're going to get frustrated. They may have setbacks, but we really need to keep the ultimate goal of this ministry in mind, correct?
Right, and I feel like I had been in ministry work, different groups. I worked in youth ministry, lector, EMHC, Bible studies, all the things. I had never had experienced the obstacles that I experienced when I started doing vocation work. And it's because the devil doesn't want any more holy priests, holy sisters, holy brothers, or marriages. I mean, it's very clear that he's trying to take all those out right now. If you just pick up the newspaper, you're going to see something to take those down.
Mm-hmm.
So I say we have to prayerfully persist and be able to pivot when things don't go well or things or an obstacle is put in your way. So it's you need to be able to persevere through obstacles or pivot to a different direction. Because, and I say this not to scare people, just to say that it's a reality, and so that they know that going into this, if they're doing it well, how about that? That's what Father Victor told me when I was complaining about so many obstacles in my way. He said, well, that means you're doing something right because the devil's trying to get in your way, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that gave me a different mindset. That gave me a, oh, okay, well, then I'm just going to keep moving forward and not let this disrupt. Because wouldn't that be just exactly what the devil would want to do, is to throw up our hands and say, oh, well?
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely what he wants us to do. Well, Rhonda.
So don't let him do it. Don't let him have it.
That's right, for sure. Rhonda, where can people find your book, Hundredfold, A Guide to Parish Vocation Ministry, and all the other resources you have available to us?
VocationMinistry.com. VocationMinistry.com. They're going to find, underneath the tab Hundredfold, they're going to find all the phases and all the resources that I have for them. At the shop, they're going to find a whole vocation-related shop there, such as a Pray for Vocations priest teddy bear, a Dominican nun in full habit teddy bear, a shirt that says one priest can change the world, to children's books, a vocation backpack. Oh, my goodness, so many wonderful things there. So VocationMinistry.com is where they can find everything they're going to need for this ministry.
Fantastic. That's all we have time for today, Rhonda. Thanks so much for taking time out of your schedule and spending it with us. Any closing thoughts?
No matter what you do, whether you can pick up the book, whether you can meet with your priest and start this ministry at your parish or not, everybody can pray for vocation. We need a generous yes for more young men and women. So let that be our prayer now through Christmas and see what happens.
Excellent. And with that, you've been listening to Off the Shelf. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger. And until next time, God bless.
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.